Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, God on Tap.
All right, many of you know this. My wife and I have three children, David, Jonathan, and Jacob. And last summer, summer of 2013, not the one we just finished, we decided that it would be a great idea to take them to Disney World. Right. And I've talked about this before, but we also decided, because we had seen other parents do this, and we did not think that simply taking our children to the happiest place on earth was enough, we felt the need to take it to another level, because we had seen other friends of ours do this. And so we decided to surprise our kids with the trip to Disney World, which means you plan the whole thing and you don't tell them about it until it's time to go. So what we did is we left for Disney World on the Saturday after school got out. School got out on a Thursday. Friday was a normal day. Saturday morning, we left for Disney World. But we had been packing. My wife had the car packed the night before, but we hadn't told our kids, right? We were going to surprise them. The way we decided to do that was we got a box of Krispy Kreme donuts, which that should have been it, by the way. That should have been the summer surprise. Here's a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. But what my wife did is she actually wrote, "We are going to Disney World," inside the box, okay? And so we got our kids down. Parents came over, and we were about to surprise the kids to tell them this. And we actually recorded it, because that's what we do now. We don't actually look at life. We hold our cameras up and we record it so we can watch it later. You know, it's like, you could just watch it right now, but no, I got to record it for later. But I did record it, and so I can share it with you. And so we kind of got them together, and this is what happened when we told our kids we were going to Disney World. Check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Read it out loud.
I go get my shoes. So they were pretty surprised. Now, how many of you have ever, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have ever pulled off a surprise like that? Like maybe you did something for your kids, or threw a surprise party for a friend or a spouse, or, proposed, just about everybody in this room, I'm assuming, has surprised somebody at some point, right? And there's always a period of time between when you decide to surprise them and when you know what you're going to do, and they experience the surprise, right? And that's probably my favorite part, because it's this whole, you know what's about to happen. You know, especially like, you know, if you're about to propose something like that, you know that what you're about to do is going to change their life forever. And just that anticipation is such a great feeling, right? How many of you have ever felt that? Like, you have actually felt that way, right? Just nod at me if you felt that way. Good. Then you know how I feel right now. Because what I think God wants to reveal to you through this series, through this God on Tap, is so beyond anything you've come in here prepared for. I think it's just going to change the game. And, you know, the series is called God on Tap, and, you know, we're Wellspring, so we always go subtle. But that's just what we do, you know, very, very subdued, very, very chill. You know, we got a biker guy literally pulling a tap. I don't know what it's of. Let's just say it's root beer. Probably not. And I know some of you have been wondering, man, what is this series about? What are we just doing this? Is this just to be provocative, blah, 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 you know? And some people have thought that, and the answer is no. No, it's not to be provocative at all. It's because I believe if we can fully embrace the idea of God on tap, that it can change everything. And rather than try to explain what I mean and just kind of go through the details, what I want to do is I want to share with you a story from Jesus' life. And it's a story about an encounter he has with a woman. And the woman has a great deal in common with many of us in the room today. The woman has some religious background. She's not very religious. She doesn't understand all the intricacies of God, but she knows who God is. She knows that you know, she was brought up in a time where there was a system by which you did certain things and it was believed that that made God like you more. And so she understands religion, right? But she doesn't understand all of it. But this lady also understands that she just has basic needs, okay? And what she finds out in this encounter with Jesus is that Jesus is the answer to everything she's ever asked. And my prayer is that many of you in the room today who came here for whatever reason, you came because a friend begged you to come, you came because you saw our coasters and you thought, that is so crazy, I've got to go find out what's happening. You know, you came for whatever reason. My belief is that God has something in store for you today. And what he has in store for you is he's going to try his hardest to reveal to you today that he is the answer to everything you've been looking for. Now, I know you understand that you don't believe that yet. You're not really sure what I'm talking about. And you're like, okay, Trey, that's kind of bold. So let me just tell you the story, okay? Let me tell you the story. We're going to see the story about this encounter with Jesus and this woman. And what I believe is going to happen is as we tell the story, you're going to begin more and more to identify with this woman. And you're going to be able to connect with her more. And you're going to see yourself in her. And then what happens at the end, the surprise Jesus has for her. Man, it changes everything. And I just hope you're ready. Because for some of you today, I think God is about to change everything. So we get this story from the fourth biography of Jesus' life, the fourth biography we have in our New Testament. The New Testament begins with four biographies, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The fourth biography was written by a guy named John. John was one of Jesus' disciples. He was actually one of Jesus' closest friends while Jesus was on earth. John was the guy that when Jesus was actually hanging on the cross, he looks at John and he says, hey, will you take care of my mom? And John did. John took care of Mary for the rest of her life. And when John is giving us this story about Jesus, he basically sets the stage and he tells us that Jesus had been in Jerusalem, which was the capital. That's where the temple was, and that's where Jesus interacted with the religious leaders. And he decided to leave Jerusalem and head back to Galilee. Okay, Galilee, what was north of Jerusalem, Galilee was really one of Jesus' base of operations. If you ever read any of the accounts in the Bible, you probably heard of the Sea of Galilee. Most of Jesus' ministry took place in the Sea of Galilee. That's why he had most of his disciples were fishermen. And you probably heard of him. You know, he'd be on a boat, and maybe you've heard the story about they were on the boat and the storm came and Jesus calmed the sea. Well, that was the Sea of Galilee, right? So he was going back to his base of operations. And but to get there, you had to go through a region that most Jews would avoid, right? It was called the region was called Samaria, and the people who lived there were Samaritans. And Samaritans and Jews hated each other. Like, they couldn't stand each other. And it was all about religion. They had very serious religious conflicts. And it was so bad that they would avoid being around each other. They wanted nothing to do with each other. And the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the people he had just been with in Jerusalem, when they had to go north to Galilee, they despised the Samaritans so much, and they thought they were unclean, and they were unworthy, and they shouldn't be around them, that they would actually go around Samaria to get where they had to go. They wouldn't go through Samaria because they wanted to avoid those people. I tell you that to point out this truth. Jesus goes through Samaria because Jesus always wanted to be with the people the religious people didn't want to be around. When religion said, don't be around that person, Jesus said, I'm going. He said, actually, I'm God, so I kind of make the rules. And I say that because Wellspring's the place that people attend when they've been told their whole life, religious people don't like you. And I love that about our church. Because Jesus was the same way. And so if you're here today, and maybe you've been told that you aren't welcome in churches, or you just have that feeling about, well, if they ever knew what I really did, blah, blah, blah. No, you're sitting in a place today that follows Jesus. And Jesus ran to those people he did not run away. And so he's on his way. He's traveling to Galilee, and he gets tired. It's a long walk, and it's in the afternoon, and so he stops by a well in the town of Sychar, and he kind of hangs out, and he sends his disciples in to get some food, okay? And that's kind of where we set this stage. Jesus is sitting by a well in the outskirts of town, and a woman, going about her normal day, shows up to draw some water for the day. And then this happens. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. If not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And this is what it says. As soon as a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He's thirsty. She's drawing water anyway. He says, hey, can I have a drink? He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. This startled the woman. The woman was surprised. There you go. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. Remember, we already talked about this. So she said to Jesus, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? It's almost like she's trying to clarify, hey, maybe I'm not wearing my name tag today. I'm a Samaritan. You're clearly a Jew. We don't talk, you know. Or kind of like Gamecocks and Kentucky fans today. We don't talk. We avoid each other. Because she doesn't understand. She's confused. She's just going about her daily life. She has no idea what's about to happen. And he starts talking to her, and so she's guarded, and she's like, whoa, we don't talk. You're already sitting at my well. What are you doing at the well? No, you can't talk to me. And then Jesus, he responds. And what he says is not only true for her, but true for every one of us in this room today. Here's what he says. If you only knew. He's saying, if you only knew what I have in store for you. If you only know the surprise I have planned for you, you wouldn't be worried about I'm a Jew and you're a Samaritan. You'd be asking me for it. And see, I think for many of you today who got up and came here for whatever reason, you were like this woman just going about your daily routine. You have no idea that the God of the universe is sitting here today saying, if you only knew what I've got in store for you today. Here's how Jesus continues. He says, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to. He continues. You would ask me, and I would give you living water. So he asked her for a drink. He says, I just want some water. And she says, whoa, what are you asking me for? And he says, if you only knew who you were talking to, you would ask me. You would ask me for what I have to offer. And what I would give you is living water. Now, she has no idea what he means by that. And you probably don't either yet. So let's keep reading. He says, I would offer you living water. And she says, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? She's not missing it. They're not on the same wavelength. And that is going to continue throughout the story. She's like, I don't understand, dude. How would you hand me some water? And then it kind of clicks at her. Wait a minute. He's a salesman. He's a traveling salesman. He's trying to tell me there's something wrong with my well. And he's got a better well. And for $19.95, he can fix my well. Seriously. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? She's getting an attitude now. It's like what's and who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? I am certain her neck did this at some point when she was responding to Jesus. Who do you think you are bashing this well? You offering me this better water. Who do you think you are? See, she has no idea what he is saying. And so he continues. Jesus replied, Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. See, Jesus isn't talking about water, obviously. He's talking about something else. Here's what he says. He says, it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. See, what Jesus is trying to do with this woman, he's trying to take her earthly need and make a spiritual point. He's trying to say, look, you get physically thirsty. And so you come to this well and you get water and it quenches your physical thirst. Well, what I offer is better. Because what I offer quenches your spiritual thirst. It quenches what your soul longs for. What your soul thirsts for. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times my soul is thirsty. My soul is thirsty for acceptance. My soul is thirsty for peace and contentment and security. I'm sure yours is too. My soul is thirsty to be free of shame and regret for the mistakes I've made in my life. I'm sure yours is too. I'm sure hers was. And what Jesus is trying to say is that the thirst of your soul can be quenched. And on some level, we know that that can be quenched because we chase things to try to quench it. We chase jobs. We chase people. We chase family. We chase all these things trying to quench. Some of you, let's just be honest, you woke up this morning or you decided last night that you were feeling terrible, you were stressed, you were anxious, you couldn't get out of your funk, and so something from somewhere back in your brain said, well, I'm going to go to church. Right? Because you thought church could fix it. I don't feel good, so I'll go to church, because church might satisfy my soul for a moment. And I understand why you would think that, but as a pastor, as a leader of church, let me help you. Church is not the answer. Jesus is the answer.
Yeah, clap for that.
Now, do I think there's a better place on the planet to find out about Jesus than church? Absolutely not. I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't believe that. But let me just make it clear to you. Nothing magical happened because you're sitting in chairs in a gym at a YMCA. Just think that through for a minute. There's nothing inherently special about coming and singing some awesome songs. Church is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And that's what he is trying to communicate to this woman. And I believe it is what he is desperately trying to communicate to me and to you this morning. That Jesus is the answer your soul is searching for. So let's keep reading. Because she doesn't get it. She immediately says, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. All she sees is a physical need. All she sees is a physical solution. And we laugh and we say, oh, lady, Samaritan, come on. But you know what? We do the same thing with God. When God's saying, I will satisfy your souls. And we say, well, you know what, God? If you would just help me close this deal, I promise I'll go to church every week. What, none of you bargained with God? God, please, if you would just let the Gamecocks win tonight, I will never make fun of Clemson from the stage again. That might be a little too autobiographical. I apologize. But that's what we do, right? We try to bargain with God. We take the fact that God is offering us the solution to everything, and we say, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. But I really want to date her. So if you would just get her to say yes to a date with me, then I'll be a better, I will serve in the kids area, God. Wherever you need me to serve, just her. Please, her. That's what we do. And that's what this lady is doing. She's missing it. She's still seeing physical. And so Jesus is like, okay, obviously, I'm the Son of God, and I can't communicate to this woman, so I've got to try a different approach. And so he says, okay, she's not getting it. She's not understanding what I'm saying. Let me show her that I'm not just a guy, not just a salesman. And here's what he says. He says, hey, go and get your husband, which sounds creepy, right? You're like, Jesus, what are you doing now? Go get your husband. That sounds weird. Until you hear her response. Her response, I don't have a husband. Well, Jesus, that's kind of embarrassing, dude. You're supposed to kind of know everything, and you're, you know, Son of God. You're supposed to, you know what they're, you know. Here's what he says. You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. And now what has just happened to this woman is every one of your absolute nightmares, especially the guests, that you're going to walk in, somebody's going to see you at church, and God's going to say, I know what you did. Right? That we're just going to put it up on the big screen. Let's go to the sin board and just list them, right? Because that's what we think of God. God's just playing this eternal game of gotcha. That he lulls you in and he gets you here and he tricks you in. And then once you get comfortable, he just goes, bang, that's what happens for disobeying me. Right? Like you get freaked out by it. But that's not what's happening here. Let me reset. Let me help you. Jesus didn't just figure that out. It's not like Jesus was sitting there and he goes, oh, that's right, I'm talking to you. Oh, you got five husbands, girl. Get it together. Come on. Five? We talked about this in staff meeting. I'm not sure how that's possible. They didn't live that long back then. But here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus knew this before she sat down. Jesus knew this before he left Jerusalem on his way to Galilee. And Jesus knew he was going to sit at a well in a town called Sychar. And that this woman was going to come out to meet him. And he was going to offer her eternal life. And all he's pointing out to her is saying, sweetie, I know everything you've ever done. And I love you. I know everything you've ever done. And I still offer you life. Do you hear that? Do you know that? Do you feel that? Do you experience that? That the God of the universe and his Son know everything you've ever done or will do. They have seen it. They have talked about it. And they have declared you innocent. They know about the thing that happened last night. They know about the thing last week. They know about that thing that you hope nobody ever finds out about because it would change the way they look at you and they would never be able to trust you again. They know. And they declared forgiven. That's what he's pointing out. Not only to this lady, but to us. That his offer of this life, his offer of the satisfaction for our souls isn't conditional on our behavior. It's offered in spite of our behavior. It's an unconditional offer that requires an unconditional response. But she still doesn't get it. She's very confused by what he's offering. She's very confused by what he's saying. But now he knew something about her, so she's impressed. And she says, sir, you must be a prophet. Because how else would he have known that? She's thinking, man, this guy, he must talk to God. He must have some answers. So she is now presented with an opportunity to ask someone who speaks for God whatever she wants to ask him. Let me show you what she asks him. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped? What? She's got the God of the universe. She's got a prophet. And she asks a question about religious practice and nobody cares about. Let me help you. This would be like having access to God. Like God comes up. Jesus comes to your house for dinner, right? Jesus is like, hey, man, I love you. So good to talk. What you got, man? I know everything. What are your questions? And for you to have one question to ask to the God of the universe and to make it this. Are aliens real? What? Yes, that is kind of interesting, but it does not change anything in my life. And y'all think that's a joke. This title, God on Tap, we actually used it before when TJ and I were trying to launch this. The summer before we launched the church, we did a Bible study in a bar. The bar no longer exists. It was called City Bar. And they had a little room where we would do a Bible study. We called the Bible study God on Tap. And the pitch was, hey, bring your friends who won't come to church and they can ask us questions in this safe environment. And we had people come. We had this one guy who came every week, and all he wanted to talk about was aliens. That's all he wanted to talk about. Week after week after week, I was finally like, John, I don't know. Quit asking about aliens. So I kind of have a kind of little soft spot in my heart for the alien people. But so she, I mean, what she's basically saying is one of the biggest things that the Jews and the Samaritans fought about was where you could properly worship God. The Jews thought it was only in Jerusalem. The Samaritans thought, well, no, we can do it here as well. And they fought over that. It's so stupid. Can you imagine fighting about that kind of stuff? And what Jesus says is he takes this incredibly insignificant question. This, okay, because all she's really trying to say is, tell me I'm right. She's still being a little selfish. She's like, no, come on. I mean, you're here, right? You're at our bar. Come on. It doesn't matter, does it? But Jesus takes her question and gives her an amazing answer. Here's what he says. He says, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. Jesus was talking about himself there. He was saying the answer to everything is going to come to the Jews because I'm a Jew and I'm going to change the world. He says this. He says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, where you worship doesn't matter. That's a rule. That's procedures. God is much more interested in how you worship him. Not some fake rule-following way, but in spirit and in truth with your whole heart. That's what God asks. It's for us to put him first in our heart and our lives. But she still doesn't get it. But here's what she says. The woman said, look, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. She has no idea. But here's what she's really saying. She's saying, okay, dude, whatever, you're confusing me. That was really long. I got to get back. My five husbands want their drink. I got to go. You heard five, right? There's one more. I got to go. But here's what she's revealing. What she's saying, she's like, look, I don't understand all that. I don't know exactly what it is you're talking about. But here's what I know, right? I know one day God's going to make sense of all this. So that's really what the Messiah was to them. The Messiah was God was going to come and rescue. And God was going to come and make sense of it. Because they had gone through some bad stuff and people had attacked their kingdom and they thought that Messiah was probably going to be a political leader and was going to overthrow the Roman government. But at the core, it was this simple belief that God, at some point, is going to heal me and he's going to save me and he's going to make sense of this. This is what she believed. At some point, God is going to come and make sense of the fact that I've had five husbands and I'm living with somebody else. I know I shouldn't do that, but I don't know what to do. But at some point, God's going to come and make sense of it. God's going to actually heal it. I don't know how, but I just know. And see, I believe that many of you here today, maybe you wouldn't call it God, maybe you would call it destiny, maybe you would call it fate, but there is something inside of you that you have had. There is some feeling, there is some emotion, there is some tug, there is some assurance that you've always clung to, that even though it doesn't make sense now, and even though things aren't going the way I want now, and even though life isn't what I want now, there's gonna come a day and it's all gonna make sense. There's gonna come a day where everything that's happened is I'm gonna finally find some peace and contentment. That day is coming, and you have been searching for that day your entire life. You have chased this and that and everything because somewhere in you, you know it is out there. You know it is possible. You know there is more to your life than what you are experiencing. You don't know how you know it, but you know it. And you've been searching for it your entire life. And just like this woman who went to the well having no clue what was about to happen, you have no clue what is about to happen because the search you have been on your entire life can end today because Jesus is the answer. This woman looks at Jesus and says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand this, but I know someday this guy called the Messiah is going to come and he is going to change everything. Here's what Jesus says. I am the Messiah. Surprise. She had no idea. Never crossed her mind. Never occurred to her her life was going to be changed forever on the way to get the water. Something she had done time after time after time. But today, it changed because God had chased her. God had engaged her. God had pursued her. Let me help you, folks. Jesus didn't need any water. It was a way in. It was a way to engage her in conversation. It was a way to start. It was simply a way to say, hi, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about this so that he could present the life-changing truth. How many of you know that God is always looking for a way into your lives? Always. Always. You can't run from God, man. He's looking for a way in. And that's what he does here. He gets a way in. And he offers her eternal life. He offers her satisfaction for her souls. And all he asks in return is that she worship him in spirit and in truth. That she choose to make him the Lord of her life. All I ask you today is that you worship him in spirit and in truth, that you choose to make him the leader of your life. And you say, well, that is a lot to ask. That is a lot to give. What do I get in return? You get God on tap. You get access to the God of the universe in an unlimited supply. You get access to everything your soul has ever needed, ever longed, ever asked for. You get the perfect solution, and you get as much of it as you need for as long as you need it. And you never have to worry about it running out. I think that sounds like a pretty good deal. That's what Jesus offers. He offers God on tap. He offers himself. He offers for there to be a source of life inside of us, a bubbling spring of life. You could also call it a wellspring of life inside of us in an unlimited supply. And see, here's the thing. Many of you came here today with a need. That's why you came to church. You came to church because you have some needs. You need friends. And you thought, well, I'll go to church. Maybe I can make some friends. Maybe I can shake some hands. Somebody's going to me, somebody's going to know me. You need to feel better. You've been struggling lately. You're anxious all the time. You're nervous. You don't know why, and you thought church would help you feel that need. You need some peace. You need some purpose. You need some forgiveness. You have those needs, and what Jesus is declaring today is, I understand you have those needs. I'm the answer. I'm the solution. I'm the source. Simply choose to follow me in spirit and in truth. Simply give your life to me. And every one of those needs can and will be satisfied. Now, does that mean we'll never no longer have needs, that everything will be okay and we'll never have heartache or never have struggle? Absolutely not. What it means is that there will never come a need that is bigger than God's supply. That's what it means. Because it's God on tap, fully and freely available all the time. And the reason we use this language of God on tap is because you've been chasing tap. You've been chasing tap after tap after tap. The tap of money, the tap of a career, the tap of a family. You thought, you know what, if I get married, then I'm finally going to feel secure and it's going to be great. Guess what? The tap ran dry. Because marriage is not an unlimited tap. Your spouse does not have an unlimited tap. Ran dry. You know what? If I get this deal done, if I close this deal, then I'm finally going to have enough money and I'm going to be able to settle down and I'll feel good about myself. You know what? Not going to work because money does not have an unlimited tap. The tap runs dry. You know what? I'm going to have a kid. Well, I'll have two kids. If I have three kids, man, my tap's going to be so. No. Not only do your kids' tap run out, they suck you dry too. Let me just ask you this question. Can you imagine what it would feel like to go through life with the ability to experience joy and peace and contentment despite your circumstances? If you could go through life and your satisfaction with life and your peace about life and your contentment about life would not be determined by what's happening around you. Did you imagine that? Well, that's what God offers. He offers himself. You see, so many of us see God like this woman saw God. We see God as a question answerer. Remember, we see God as a wisdom giver. And we see God as an advisor to help us accomplish our purposes in our life. And God's saying, the reason you're not experiencing the life you want is because you got it confused. I'm not a question answerer. I'm not a wisdom giver. I'm not an advisor. I'm the answer to everything. And until we accept that, we don't even think to go to God. And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the series, is because we don't even understand some of the places we should go to God for, because we go to everybody else first. And God's saying, no, I'm here. I'm on tap. I am freely and fully available to satisfy every need of your soul, 24/7, 365. Stop going there. Stop going there. Come to me first. Now, I might lead you to go have a conversation with somebody else, and that's fine. But come to me first. Because I have an unlimited supply for you. And my prayer today is that even though you came in like this woman, not really knowing what was going to happen, not knowing where we were going, knowing you had some needs, not knowing that God could actually satisfy them, that for some reason, as you've been sitting here, maybe you've heard the story before, but right now it's starting to click and you're starting to say, okay, I've never believed this before, but this is actually making sense. And I think this is right. I think this is what it should happen. Well, that's what happened to this lady. This lady is convinced. In fact, if you read the end of the story, it says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus, not just her, because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. See, that means they continued the conversation. And so she runs and tells her friends and says, the Messiah is here. The answer is here. You've got to come see this. And why would you not? God on tap is available. God, we can have God on tap. We don't have to chase all this stuff that never works. We can have God. We can have free and complete and full access to the God of the universe, and he can satisfy every need we've ever had. He's here. He's available. Come check it out. Folks, that's what Wellspring's screaming. It's not just a fun idea and a cool thing to do on Sunday mornings. Jesus is the answer to your life. He is the answer to the needs. He is the answer to the wants. He is the answer to the unsatisfaction. He is the answer to the nervousness. He is the answer to the anxiousness. He is the answer to the discontentment. He is the answer. So why don't you just try it with me? Stop going from tap to tap to tap and go to the one source that we have freely available in a limited supply, guaranteed. And it's not even dependent on your behavior. It's not like he says, well, you were bad this week. You only get a couple of pints. You don't get an unlimited supply today. It's what he's offering us. It's what he's offering to you. It's what he was offering to this woman. And it's been in front of you the whole time. But today, it might be the first time it's clicking. Today is the day you're understanding. Jesus is saying, I am the Messiah. I am the answer. I am what your soul has been searching for. And if that's you today, I want to give you a chance to change your mind. I want to give you a chance to begin the journey of living life with access to God on tap, with access to the unlimited, free-flowing love, mercy, grace, peace, understanding, and contentment and satisfaction that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what I challenge you to do now is ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're here today and you say, you know, that's me, man. I came. Yeah, I had some needs. I was feeling bad. I wanted to meet some people, but I didn't expect this. I'd say, okay, neither did this lady. But Jesus did. And he's been planning it. And he says, I know everything you've ever done. I know everything you're going to do. And I'm still standing here. And I'm still offering you the answer to every question and every struggle you're ever going to have. I'm offering you me. I'm offering you God on tap. All you have to do is accept it. And here's how you accept it. Pray in your heart as I pray these words out loud. Say, God, I want to experience life with you. I want the life you offer. I admit that I've done it my own way, that I've chased things, and I've made mistakes. But I believe you paid the price for those mistakes when you died on the cross. And when you came back to life, you proved that my life could change too. And so from this point forward, I commit to following you in spirit and in truth. I commit to making you the Lord and leader of my life. And I embrace the absolute, unlimited, free-flowing power that comes through that relationship. I ask you to begin now, satisfying the thirst of my soul, and spend the rest of my life on earth teaching me how to chase you in every aspect of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for offering yourself in an unlimited supply. Now, I want you to keep your heads bowed, but I want you to know, if you just prayed that prayer, if you just made this decision, if you just accepted this gift, heaven's having a party. The word tells us that the angels rejoice every time a soul comes home. And so here's what I challenge you to do right now. I want you to go public, but it's a very limited public. I'm going to count to three in just a moment. And if you prayed that prayer, I just simply would like to ask you to raise your hand. Everybody's eyes are closed, but I can see. And I want to be able to celebrate with you, and I'll be able to pray for you. And this can be your first public step of what's happened in your heart. So when I count to three, just raise your hand for me. One, two, three. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Just go ahead. Keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. Amen. All right, everybody look at me. I'm trying to not do a backflip right now, but I would hurt myself. We have doctors here, but I'm not going to do it. But wow, I was looking, and God is really good. And I want to thank you for responding. Yes, let's clap for that. Yes, that was... Please hear my heart. We clap, we celebrate, not because of anything we did. As I've said, church is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. We clap because so many people changed their minds today. And you have just tapped into the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ. And here is my job. I'm going to stand before God one day and answer for what's about to happen. You chose to make that decision here in this church. And I'm the pastor. And this decision you made today is the beginning of this new life. It is not the end. And we are charged with guiding you in this journey, with guiding you and teaching you how to continue to tap into God. Number one, I challenge you to come back for the rest of this series, because we're going to talk about some specific areas and specific struggles we have in our soul and how God solves them. But more than that, if you just prayed that prayer today, if you just began your relationship with God, I am begging you. Each one of you has a connection card. I'm begging you to complete that card. Check the box that says, today I became a Christ follower. Either drop it in the box on the way out. If you'd like to talk to somebody, you can go to the info desk. You can go to the blue tent. We have a gift for you. We have a Bible we want to give you. We want to help you begin this journey, because it is the beginning, not the end. And there is no way we can know what happened and who did it unless you tell us. It's simply because we want to walk with you in this journey. So I pray you'll do that. As we close today, we're actually going to close with a song. And I pray as you sing this song that God will begin to fill your hearts and help you understand how He truly is the answer. See, we have many Christians, you've been following Jesus for years, but you still don't get the God on tap thing. I don't. I didn't get it till I started studying for this series. I don't get that every problem I have, every struggle I have, that God is the answer and that He has the solution. So sing this today and come back next week and bring your friends so that we can learn together how to live life with a satisfied soul despite our circumstances. Let me pray for you. God, I love you so much, and I thank you for the amazing things you've done in here today. Father, I just beg you to continue to move in this place, move in our hearts. May they be drawn to you. May your Holy Spirit pour out on us. May we leave here changed. May we leave here understanding that we have complete and total access to the God of the universe in an unlimited supply. May that change our lives. May that change our actions. And may that change this city. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.